Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our epistle reading from James chapter 2. And our focus this morning will be on verses 23 and 24. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, once again, you have gathered your people to hear your word, the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to work through this word, to strengthen our faith in him, and to kindle a love of good works for others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is week three of a five-week series called Tensions. This series is all about the tensions that you and I as God's people feel every single second of our lives. So we started off with the tension of being 100% saint and sinner at the same time. Last week we looked at how the Christian lives in two kingdoms at the same time, the kingdom of the sword and the kingdom of grace. And today we're going to look at the tension of faith and works. Now, the tension between faith and works has been a huge tension throughout the history of the church. And I believe it's because it focuses on two key biblical figures, St. Paul and St. James. So, St. Paul, we love St. Paul, don't we? We love his life, we love the letters that he wrote, we love his teachings, we love his theology, and especially we love his laser focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ that is summed up in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Well, we love that stuff. But then James seems to come along and just throw a wrench in everything, doesn't he? I mean, if you read the Epistle of James, you're like, whoa, this guy is heavy on law with maybe a little sprinkling of gospel here and there. It's like James is saying to Paul, oh, great, saved by grace through faith, great. So what? There's other things that we have to figure out here in the Christian life. No wonder Martin Luther himself at one time called it an epistle of straw, that he didn't even think it should even belong in the Bible, the letter of James, because of its just heavy emphasis on works and law. Yeah. That's why we love Paul so much, but then here comes James, and he seems to just mess everything up. How so? Well, take a look at our text. James here is getting into some kind of hypothetical but real argument with what we call the faith alone people. And he starts off by saying, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Oh, fine, you claim to have saving faith. Yeah, you believe there's one God. Sure, even demons believe that there is one God. And at least they do something with that. They shudder. And then James seems to he just unloads here. Verse after verse after verse, showing his faith by his works. He starts off with this hypothetical situation of this brother or sister poorly clothed, lacking food, and you know what? I hope you get clothing and I hope you get food and drink. Hope that works for you. He's just like, seriously, that's not what you would do. That's ludicrous. And then he says, what about Rahab? Remember, she was a prostitute, a pagan? And she actually hid the spies, sent them on another way because she believed in the Lord. And then, of course, James offers up the grand poobah of all people, Abraham. And he talks about how Abraham offered his own son Isaac, was willing to sacrifice him on the altar, and then goes on to quote, and this is key, Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And then he takes that microphone that he's been shouting at and just drops it with that verse. You see that someone is actually justified by works and not by faith alone. And there's the tension right there. It's like we're pitting Paul and James against each other because both of them use that verse, Genesis 15:6, in order to support their side. Paul uses it in Romans 4:22. He uses it in Galatians 3:6. And he uses it to portray an Abraham that is saved by faith apart from works. But James, he doesn't even do that. He's like, no, he uses this verse to say, guess what? His faith was perfected by his works. He presents an Abraham that is justified by his works. So there's the tension for us, brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we saved by faith alone? Or do works have anything to count toward that salvation? It's a tension. And so the thing is that when we are faced with this tension between faith and works, we often have two different reactions. We either emphasize faith alone or we emphasize works. If we emphasize faith alone, we tend to separate our faith and our works as far apart as possible. Neither the two shall meet because we don't even want a hint of works righteousness. But see, if we emphasize or overemphasize faith alone, we can get what James says is called head faith, demon faith, dead faith. This faith is all about knowledge. It's all about checking off the correct theological boxes. It's about claiming to have saving faith that makes you righteous, that justifies you. But you don't actually do anything or much of anything for those in need. It's kind of like saying to them, you know what? You're in my thoughts and prayers. Because you never, ever want to claim that your works contribute anything to your salvation. But at the same time, we can fall on the other side. I remember at the end of a Bible study I did in my first congregation, a member of the congregation came up to me and she said, Pastor, okay, I get it. I really get it. We're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Our works don't count toward our salvation, right? I was like, yes, you're right. But you still want us to do good works. Oh, yeah, I encourage you, you know, go, love, serve, you know, yes. Okay. She kind of paused. So how do I know if I've done enough good works? You see, if James claims that saving faith apart from works is dead and cannot save you, well, then we start obsessing about works. It's like we're like, all right, we need to start cranking this out, you know, like a factory cranks out widgets. You know, we're trying to prove that our faith is real by doing and maintaining a certain amount of good works. But if we tend to overemphasize works, it's all too easy to fall into self-righteousness, where we actually begin to think what I'm doing counts before God. In fact, you're starting to notice that you're putting your faith in the works and not in the grace of Jesus Christ. So what do we do? What do we do with this tension? Well, it might be helpful to actually focus on the one that both Paul and James point to, and that's Abraham. Yes, both of them quote Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. But what was going on at that time? Well, this is when the Lord comes to Abram after he has called him. And he says, I am your shield, I'm your great reward. And Abram's like, that's great, but I don't have an heir. I'm going to choose this guy to be my heir. And the Lord makes a promise. He's like, no, your own son is going to be your heir. And then he leads Abraham out, points to the night sky, and he says, go ahead, look at the stars. Can you count them? See if you can even count them. You can't do it, can you? So shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. This is an Abraham that was righteous before he had done a thing. Score one for Paul. But James doesn't look at that. James actually looks ahead to Genesis chapter 22, in which the Lord comes to Abram and says, hey, take your only son, Isaac. Take him and go sacrifice him on the mountain. I'll show you. And he does it. He takes and he goes up the mountain alone. And Isaac's like, hey, Dad, I totally get this, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And Abram says, the Lord will provide the lamb for the sacrifice. And he's about to strike with the knife until the angel of the Lord says, don't lay a hand on him. And this is key. Because you have done this, Abraham, because you have not withheld your hand from your only son, I will surely bless you. And that's where James says Abraham's faith was completed, perfected by his works. Score one for James. But at the heart of it all, at the heart of Paul, at the heart of James, at the heart of Abraham, is the one God that can make foolish people righteous, that can justify the ungodly, that can save sinners. See, at the heart of all this is the God that comes among us and comes right up to us who are naked with our guilt and shame over our sin, lacking the bread from heaven that we need every single second of our lives, who are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And what does the Lord do? He offers his own son for us, Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he sacrifices his own son on the altar of the cross, where he dies and then he raises him from the dead, never to die again. And then the Lord says to you and me this is the work of God that makes you righteous, that justifies you, that saves you. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But Paul goes on to Ephesians 2, verse 10, where he says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, as God has prepared beforehand. He later goes on to his buddy Titus in chapter 2, verse 14, and says, He has redeemed us so he can purify a people who are zealous for good works. And once again, James says, show your faith by your works. So again, we are faced. What do we do here? I'll tell you what. Let me offer up one more story. And it's told by our Lord himself at the end of Matthew chapter 25, which is typically called the sheep and the goats. This is the last day when Jesus comes and he takes all people, and he separates them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he turns to his sheep and he says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take the inheritance that has been prepared before the foundation of the world. Right? Before they've done anything. But then he goes on to list a litany of good works they did during their lifetime. And then he says to them, all of it was done to me. And they are completely astonished at this. Why? Why are they astonished? Because their faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ has freed them from trying to make themselves righteous, from trying to justify themselves, from trying to save themselves, so that they can now do good works for others. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, saving faith that is active with works, that is perfected with works completed, has stopped worrying about mingling faith with works, has stopped worrying about whether you've done enough good works, has stopped worrying at all about making yourself righteous, justifying yourself, saving yourself. No, the gospel of Jesus, his death and resurrection, has taken care of all of that. So you are now free to do good works for others. You are now free to love them, to serve them in their needs. Because your salvation has been 100% taken care of by Jesus Christ. I want to end with a quote that maybe you have heard before. It's just the icing on the cake here. From Martin Luther. Faith is a living, busy, active, powerful thing. It is impossible for it not to do us good continually. It never asks whether good works are to be done, but has done them before there is time to ask the question. And it is always doing them. Well, sounds like something that Paul and James, and even you and me, can totally agree upon. Amen.